Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Last week, we began a study concerning the religion of Islam. In our lesson last week, we dealt with the definition of Islam and the origin of that religion. If you'd like a copy of that lesson, just go to our website, which is www.montevistacoc.com, and the information on that website will direct you to the archives, and you can select any or all of the lessons for which you have an interest, and they will be mailed to you at no charge. Again, that's montevistacoc.com, the website of the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Last week, we concluded our lesson by reading what the Muslims say is an actual account of a vision that Muhammad had. And you can see in that recording of his vision just how charismatic Muhammad was, and the story goes that he had great skill in presenting these fairy tales, as it were, in such a way that people believed that they actually happened, and thus he was followed by many people, and his followings even grew greater. Today I'd like to begin by spending some time defining various Islamic terms. In defining the religion of Islam, I want to examine and explain various components which comprise the religion. The word Islam literally means to surrender, but as a religious term in the Quran, it means to surrender to the will or law of God. One of those that I referenced for this study, Dr. Arthur Arbery, the head of Mideastern Studies at Cambridge University and one of the great Arabic scholars, said this, quote, "Islam is a particularly Arabian religion and peculiar thereto because Islam is a religion and a culture. It must be understood in the terms of its essential identification with 7th century culture," unquote. Islam was not only a regulator of the worship of its followers, but it imposed strict regulations for their day-to-day lifestyles in every facet of their lives. Carson and Decker go on to say, quote, "Islam poses its 7th century Arabian culture in its political expression, in its family affairs, in its dietary laws, in its clothing, in its religious rites, and in its language. Muslims are religiously compelled to impose 7th century Arab culture on the rest of the cultures of the world," unquote. Again, we read, quote, "Because there was no concept of personal freedom or civil rights in the tribal life of 7th century Arabia, Islamic law today does not recognize freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, or freedom of the press. This is why non-Muslims, such as Christians, are routinely denied the most basic of human rights and are often physically attacked or jailed. Islam understands itself fundamentally as being natural religion, in that in every created thing exists in dependence upon God, in obedience to His creative and sustaining power, and with the purpose of expressing adoration to God. Unquote. George Fry and James King write concerning the meaning of Islam, quote, "Islam is a system of meanings or a set of significances, of vast assemblages of belief, commitments, duties, social organization, hopes and fears, goals, institutions, patterns of work and education and child rearing, moral codes, laws and literatures, traditions, saints and sinners. Islam is a religious faith that permeates every nook and cranny of a believer's life, entering into virtually all of the experiences from which he derives a sense of meaning." They also write, "Islam also comes to mean blameless, faultless, established, proven, and it takes on as well a number of vaguely related meanings: to forsake, to drop, to deliver, to surrender, to declare oneself committed to obedience to the natural laws which govern the world, to submit to the will of God, to embrace Islam, to be a Muslim, and when all these meanings interact, we derive the meaning of a, quote, surrender to God by which personal well-being is achieved," unquote. Followers of Islam are called Muslims. That means, quote, "those who submit," unquote. Mohammedan is not used by Muslims, and that's offensive to them, just as offensive as being called a Campbellite is to the member of the Lord's Church. Because the name Muslim is given in the Quran itself to the followers of Muhammad, that's in the Quran chapter 22, verse 78, Muslims resent being called Mohammedans, which implies a personal cut of Muhammad forbidden in Islam. They also object to spelling Muslim as a distortion of M-U-S-L-I-M. So those of the Islamic religion find it a personal insult when their religion is referred to as M-O-S-L-E-M instead of M-U-S-L-I-M. And I suppose the exact statistics are not available, but the Muslim world population is estimated somewhere between 850 million and a billion people. Muslims account for about 1/6 of the world's population. Carson and Decker report, quote, "When most people think about Muslims, they immediately think of the Middle East or North Africa. But in fact, only 20% of the world's Muslims live in those two areas. Most of them live in other countries. The largest Muslim country is Indonesia, with 154 million Muslims. The total Arab world, including all of the Middle East and North Africa, has about 144 million Muslims. Bangladesh has 90 million. Pakistan, another 90 million. India has about 70 million and approximately 11% of the population of India is Muslim. The Muslim population in China is nearly 63 million and more than 41 million Muslims live in the southern tier of the former country of the Soviet Union, which includes Afghanistan, Iran, Syria, and Iraq. In Turkey, about 46 million Muslims make their homes, and Iran's Muslim population is almost 40 million. Being almost non-existent 30 years ago in the United States, today Islam is a flourishing religion. It has about 5 million followers. Carlson and Decker warn, quote, Today, the 5 million Muslims in the United States add up to more than all of the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Christian Scientists combined. An extremely militant proselyting program is underway in many cities and in every state. Universities have been visited. Muslims are going to take the Mormon missionary effort and make it pale by comparison. Unquote. The Muslims are divided into three primary groups. A great struggle for control was commenced when Muhammad died. Abu Bakr was chosen as its first leader but was killed 2 years later. Thus, the new religion divided into three major divisions, and each of those subsequently divided into smaller sets. The largest Muslim set is the Sunnites. They recognize the first four kaplas. That is a title given to a spiritual and political leader who took over after Muhammad's death. They recognize the first four of those men as Muhammad's rightful successors. The Shiites compose another set. They reject those who followed Muhammad, at least the first three, recognizing only Ali. They are the most radical set, we would say. The third party or set is known as the Sufis, S-U-F-I-S, the Sufis, who are philosophic mystics, basically have adapted and reinterpreted Islam for themselves. The Quran is the Islamic holy book. According to Microsoft Encyclopedia, quote, Muslims regard the Quran as the speech of God to Muhammad, mediated by Gabriel, the angel of revelation. They believe that God himself, not Muhammad, is the author and therefore that the Quran is infallible, unquote. According to McDowell and Stewart, the Quran is said to be the final and the complete inspired word of God transmitted to the prophet Muhammad by the angel Gabriel. Stephen Neal makes these comments with reference to the Quran. Quote, it is well known that many points in the Quran does not agree with the Jewish and Christian scriptures. Therefore, from the Muslim point of view, it follows of necessity that these scriptures must have been corrupted. Historical reference makes no impression upon the crushing force of the syllogism. And so it is, and it can be no other way. The Muslim conversationalist feels no need to study evidence in detail. The only valid picture of Jesus Christ is that which is to be found in the pages of the Quran. Unquote. So then the sacred sayings of Muhammad, which were handed down by oral tradition for generations after Muhammad's death, until finally subscribed, are called the Hadith, H-A-D-I-T-H. These are not generally held to be infallible, like the Quran. The Microsoft Encarta has this to say about the Sunnah, which is part of the Hadith. Quote, the second substantive source of Islam, the Sunnah, or example of the Prophet, is known through the Hadith, the body of translations based upon what the Prophet said or did regarding various issues. Unlike the Quran, which was memorized, either in whole or in part, by the many followers of Muhammad during their lifetime, and which was compiled and written from a quite early date, the transmission of Hadith was largely verbal, and the present authoritative collections date from the 9th century. Unlike the Quran, the Hadith is not considered infallible. In the early Islamic period, whether or not the Prophet himself was infallible, apart from the revelations in the Quran, was a point of great controversy. Later, however, the consensus of the Islamic community was that both he and the earlier prophets were infallible. because Hadith was mainly transmitted orally, it was conceded that error could enter into the human translation. Hadith, therefore, is a source secondary to the Islamic faith, to the Quran. And although it is almost equally fundamental for most Muslims, it is still subject to error. Recent research, not yet accepted by the large body of the Muslims, has demonstrated that much of the Hadith was not derived from the Prophet, but represents the opinions of the early generations of Muslims, opinions that were subsequently attributed to the Prophet. In some cases, a genuine statement of the Prophet was preserved, but additions to it were later made by Muslims who wanted to advance certain theological or legal opinions. Unquote. J. Christie Wilson writes that these were records of what Muhammad did, what he allowed, what he enjoined. He goes on to say that the mass of tradition was becoming almost hopeless when about the middle of the 3rd century in the Muslim area, the Sunnah, or Orthodox tradition, was confined and codified. 6 of those collections were finally accepted, and even these contain many traditions that are contrary to one another, many contradictions. First of those is the Pillar of Islam. These are 5 obligations each and every Muslim must meet. These are known as the 5 pillars of Islam. Now, I want you to listen close now, because these 5 obligations, or pillars of Islam, is what the Muslims, whether they live here or in Iran or in Pakistan, these are what the Muslims must meet. Number 1, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His prophet. One must state this aloud to become a Muslim, and is repeated constantly by the faithful. 2, the Muslim must pray 5 times daily, prostrate, facing Mecca. The Muslims must recite the prescribed prayers, which are the first surah and other selections from the Quran, and they must recite them in Arabic while facing the Kaaba in Mecca 5 times a day, upon rising, at noon, in mid-afternoon, after sunset, and before retiring. The call to pray is sounded by the Muslim crier from a tower called a minaret, which is part of a mosque. 3, the giving of alms to the poor was practiced and encouraged by Muhammad and continues as a work of merit. The legal alms that are prescribed by the Islamic code consist of a certain portion of income, the amount of which is determined by a rather complicated system. 4, observing the 9th month, called Ramadan, observing Ramadan of the Muslim lunar year as the month of fasting. The requirement includes abstinence from drinking water or any other liquid and from smoking, with the fast beginning at dawn as soon as a white thread may be told from a black man's arm's length, and last until dark, when the one may not be distinguished from the other. In most Islamic cities, a cannon is fired at dawn to mark the beginning of the fast, and the evening when the eating and drinking may begin. 5, a pilgrimage is made at least once in a Muslim's lifetime to Mecca, who is physically able and can afford the trip unless he's a slave. The selected days of the pilgrimage are from the 1st till the 12th day of the last month of the lunar calendar, with the 7th till the 10th as the 3 special days of ceremony. 6, To this list, some have added a sixth pillar. This sixth pillar is known as the Holy War, or Jihad. Carson and Decker wrote, "In the early years of Islam, and even often today, the intent is the spread of Islam by force." Did you hear that? The intent is the spread of Islam by force. Islam regards itself as a universal religion. Jihad is viewed as service. Service in the spread and the defense of Islam. Today, many Muslims who are schooled in Western values take jihad figuratively to mean the spread of Islam through evangelism. But the vast majority of Muslims are taught that it is not just figurative. Muslims are taught that if one dies in a holy war, he is guaranteed a place in paradise. The Muslims also have five articles of faith in their religion. These five articles of faith are the central doctrines of the Muslims. Each Muslim must believe these doctrines. I know that our time is running short, but I want to begin in talking about these five articles of faith, and then, Lord willing, we'll begin with those in our next lesson. First, there is only one true God, and His name is Allah. That's the first article of faith in the religion of Islam. No statement about God seemed to Muhammad more fundamental than the declaration that God is one, and no sin seemed to him so unpardonable as associating another with God on the terms of equality. God stands alone and supreme. He exists before any being or thing, is self-subsistent, omniscient, omnipotent, all-seeing, all-hearing, and all-willing. Second, this is the second of the five articles of faith of the religion of Islam. The second is the existence of angels, and that's a basic doctrine to every Muslim. The greatest angel is considered to be Gabriel, who appeared to Muhammad. Al-Shaytan is the devil, Al-Shaytan. That's A-L, capital S-H-A-Y-T-A-N. Al-Shaytan. That's the devil and the most likely a fallen angel. Jinn are those creatures between man and angels which can neither be good or bad. That's J-I-N-N, Jinn. Each person has two recording angels who record every deed, good or bad. So then the second article of faith for those of the Islamic religion is the existence of angels, and that doctrine is basic. Remember, the first article is that there's only one true God, and His name is Allah. Lord willing, next week we'll begin with the third of the five articles of faith in talking about the definition of terms in the Islamic religion. Anything that is as widespread and that is indoctrinated so deeply in so many of the world's population is not something that can be studied and understood in a short 30-minute sermon. I hope that you will order the CDs of these lessons, and that you can do that through our website at www.matavistascoc.com, and that you'll take your time and that you'll study these things, and that you'll use your local library or information that you can derive through the internet, and that you'll compare the things that are taught with the things that the religion of Islam teaches. And that you will do that so that you might know more clearly the threat that we have in this false religion, the religion of Muhammad. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Rhodes. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.